Hi, I'm Leon Steele, and welcome to our Bible study program presented by the Community Church of God in Benton, Arkansas, titled Living in Christ. We're a non-denominational church teaching the clear and inerrant truth of Jesus Christ's gospel. If you have any questions or comments about our program, we would certainly enjoy hearing from you. And if you or someone you know would like more information or are interested in participating in this radio outreach program, please call 501-316-0136. That's 501-316-0136. And please listen at the end of today's message for additional information. Now for today's program of Living in Christ. Hello, thank you for joining us today in our study of what it means to actually have crossed over from death to life and to be living eternally as a citizen of God's eternal spiritual kingdom. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Don't take this as some kind of feel-good philosophy, or a whistling-in-the-dark idea, though, or a pie-in-the-sky religious ideal. It is the plain statement of fact by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 5 and verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Those are the words of God, who not only will not lie, but who cannot lie. Jesus is not addressing a particular church or denomination, nor is he addressing the rich or poor, nor any race or class of people. His message is directed to everyone who hears his word and believes God who sent him to the earth. He sent him to the earth as the Savior and Lord of all who will believe. His statement is made to you and I. It is to all who hear his word and believe God. Jesus says that they have eternal life. That means they have life that does not end with the death of the body, that a new and different life than what they were born with has been entered into, even though there is no noticeable outward change in the earthly person. That's good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that sinful and doomed mankind has been provided a means of escaping death. In the last two programs, we have looked at what it means to be born again and to believe in Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Jesus tells a high-ranking official of their government and the teacher of Israel, as Jesus called him, that a person must be born again to see or enter God's eternal kingdom of heaven. Jesus leaves nothing open to chance or to interpretation in his statements. He simply tells the man, Nicodemus, that to see and enter God's spiritual kingdom of heaven, a person has to be born again. Of course, all of humanity genuinely desires to have eternal life. That's the reason for all the religions in the world. God created a desire within the first man, Adam, and it was a desire for a relationship with himself. Adam later rejected the fellowship with God that he was meant to have. Nevertheless, the desire for a relationship with God has been passed down to every person born of Adam, and that's all of us. Don't you ever wonder sometimes why almost every person in the world looks to a god or gods? Even the atheist make a sort of God out of mankind by claiming God-like attributes, such as goodness and righteousness, for mere human beings. If man is only a physical being, though, as they claim, then there's no such thing as good and evil, because those are spiritual values. Those are spiritual judgments. All religions present a promise of some manner of life beyond this short, temporary human life of man. I don't know personally of a single person who would not like to have eternal life with no pain or sorrow or suffering of any kind. Everyone wants to have lives of joy and peace and happiness and goodness forever. However, there's very little agreement among the religions, and very little even in our Christian churches, as to how that can be obtained. If we believe God, as Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 24, then we also will believe the good news of God given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, that in him we can have eternal life with God in his kingdom, in the way that he designed from the beginning. That the first man and woman rejected God as their head in no way derailed his plan to bring into being a people who are entirely like himself in nature, in goodness, in righteousness, and in spirit. God is entirely spirit, and so man also had to be the same. That meant God would have to redeem lost and sinful and perishable mankind. They would have to be made clean, justified before God, and would have to have the spirit and nature of holy God. To bring that about, God himself became a man, just like all other men, except without man's sinful nature. And then he did everything necessary so that man could then become like God in nature, in spirit. Life everlasting is entered, though, Jesus tells us in the third chapter of John, only by birth, by being spiritually born again into God's spiritual kingdom. What brings about that new birth, the new spiritual birth from above, in which a new and unique creation comes into being that has never existed before? It happens in the same manner that each physical human birth produces an utterly new and unique human being. So the spiritual birth from above, from God, produces an entirely new and unique spirit being that is born into the old physical human body. So, what is it then that brings about or starts the process of being born of spirit? Once again, Jesus gives us the one and only truth, as he does in all things. And he says in John chapter 5 and verse 24 that we read earlier, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, Jesus says, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. First of all, Jesus says, a person has to hear his word. No other word will do. No matter how good and how righteous it may sound, from whatever source it comes from, only his word is the word of God the Father and is of truth. Then the person who hears Jesus' word and believes in him, Jesus says, has entered into eternal life. That means the person who hears Jesus' word and believes in Jesus Christ, the person whom God sent to the earth, has been born again. Because Jesus had said earlier that a person has to be born again to see and enter into eternal life. Now, it's not my purpose today to do a comprehensive review of Jesus' word concerning believing and being born again, as those were the subjects of the previous 2 weeks' programs. However, if you would like to have either a cassette or a CD copy of those programs, please give us a call or write us at the address that will be given at the end of today's program and give us the dates they were played, and we'll be happy to send them to you. We won't put your name on a mailing list, and we won't send you anything other than exactly what you request. The subject I wanted to look into today is what happens after a person believes. What happens after a person believes and is born again into the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, which is the church? There are thousands of different churches in the world. So which one, we say, which one's the right one? Well, there's only one spiritual church, which is made up only of those who believe in Jesus Christ and who have been born again of God's Spirit. The title of this program is Living in Christ, and it concerns not only the eternal life of the born-again believer, but it addresses the rest of the person's physical human life on this earth. Eternal life begins the moment a person believes in and receives Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. As Jesus said, the person who hears his word and believes in him has entered into the life of God and is, in fact, a new spirit creation, a born-again believer. When a person believes and is born again of God's Spirit, Jesus says that he has passed out of death into life. Now, to leave death and enter into life is to change realms and to change citizenship. As inheritors of Adam and Eve, we were born into the realm of sin and death, which is this world, and which is entirely separate from the righteousness and the life of the kingdom of God. Jesus himself tells us that no person has ever entered into God's realm of righteousness as a natural human being, except for Jesus himself, who came from heaven and who has gone back to heaven. For that reason, a person who believes and has been born again has, as Jesus says, crossed over from death into life. By means of the new spiritual birth, the believer enters into the citizenship of God's spiritual kingdom. The new man, as Paul terms it, has full citizenship in God's spiritual kingdom, but lives on for a time in the flesh as a stranger and sojourner in what has become an alien world for the believer. There's no hymn that says, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." And it well describes the life of the person who has been born again and has spiritually been enrolled in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is where much of the confusion in Christianity comes about as to what is to be the earthly life of the believer who's born again, this time born of God's Spirit into the eternal inheritance of God. The born-again, new spirit being has the full life and citizenship of God's heavenly kingdom, but obviously is not an actual resident of that spiritual kingdom yet, because he's still confined within a physical human body on this earth, where sin and death reigns. The living head of God's kingdom, the man, Jesus Christ, having performed all that he was given to do on the earth by God the Father, having died in our place, having been buried, and whose dead human body was resurrected to eternal life, this man now sits in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, and he continues his earthly work through the physical bodies of his spiritual people who are still in the world. God's spiritual church in Christ continues being built here on the earth in those people whom God calls and who hear Jesus' word and believe in him. Jesus tells us that is the outcome for all who believe in him and are then born again, or, as the term correctly means, born from above. Jesus goes on to say the new birth, originating from above in heaven, is a spiritual birth, that God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, requiring that those who enter it must do so through the new birth. And it only makes sense. It only makes sense that if a person is to enter into the life of a spiritual kingdom, they must have spirit life. Many say that a person is only born again in the resurrection because we're physical beings as long as we have physical life. However, that belief is not true. And we know that it is untrue because Jesus himself was born of the spirit life of God, his Father, even though his body was physical and would die. That was how God entered into the life of man, by the Spirit God being born into a physical human being. In turn, the believer, already born of man, enters into the spirit life of God by being born of God's Spirit into his life. That's why Jesus says again and again that whoever believes in him has entered into his eternal spirit life, even though they're still dwelling in a physical human body. Now, I want to turn to the subject of our program today, which is, how is life on this earth lived after a person has believed? After a person has been born again of God's Spirit, and as Jesus told us in John chapter 5 and verse 24, that he who hears his word and believes him who sent Jesus has entered into eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And that life exists for the time being in the old physical human body here on this earth. The believer has become a citizen of God's realm, but he still resides on this earth, now merely a sojourner here, an alien and a stranger, a pilgrim that's just passing through this earthly realm on the way to his eternal heavenly dwelling with God. That's the situation of all who have entered into life, but still dwell on this earth in a world that is at enmity with God and with his people. Most people in America don't seem to believe the world is at enmity with God, especially in this country, because here about 85% of the population claim to be followers of Christ and claim to be on God's side. Now, I don't know what you think about Jesus' words saying that a person must be born again to enter God's kingdom, but strangely enough, surveys show that almost everyone in the U.S. believes that God will take them to heaven when they die, even though many or most of them don't believe in being born again in the way that Jesus says it has to be. How do the scriptures tell us a believer should live the remainder of his life on this earth as a citizen of God's kingdom? One of the most succinct statements in the Bible is found in Paul's letter to the Romans, where he's speaking of this very matter. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul makes what is just a defining statement about what a person is to do who has believed in Jesus Christ and has been born of God's Spirit. Now, this is, of course, a human being who has become a citizen of God's kingdom, as we saw earlier, and therefore is entirely subject to its ruler, Jesus Christ. And in verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." In the previous 11 chapters of Romans, Paul has gone through all mankind's natural state of unrighteousness, and he's gone to the righteousness of Christ, to the state of righteousness believers are born into in Christ, to the life of the believer as part of Christ's body, the spiritual church of God. This is the church of believers that God has called and placed in the body as it pleased him for his own purpose. People seem to often believe they can establish their own position in the body of Christ as they do in the world, but only God calls and assigns offices for each individual, because he's the only one who can see the spiritual structure that is being built as his kingdom. Paul is addressing only the church that is alive in Christ Jesus. The world has multiple thousands of different churches, but there's only one spiritual church that is in Christ. No matter what physical church they may belong to, Paul calls them brothers. Whatever church they're part of, the spiritual born-again people Paul called brethren, meaning people who are of the same family, and in this case, a spiritual family, in the same way that all of mankind, being children of Adam, are brethren of one physical family. Then Paul says, by the mercies of God. You know, it's only by God's mercies that mankind has been provided a Savior to pay for their sins and make it possible for them to stand unashamed before God with no debt of death outstanding. We have to consider the manifold mercies of God, the mercy of forgiveness, the mercy of God's unwavering love toward us, of his kindness, his mercy of goodness, his provision, his protection. We have to give him thanks for the mercy of the earth and all that's in it, including our very lives. It is only by the great mercies of God that we even have any hope, because all mankind lives at enmity with God. Unless and until they're born again, and even the new birth is totally a result of God's mercies, though with no contribution on the believer's part. Paul tells his brethren, that is, all who believe in Jesus Christ and are born again into the one spiritual family of God, that they are to present their bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, this is where true believers who are in Christ Jesus begin to be separated from those who have only an intellectual or a historical belief in the reality of Jesus, or who believe in him but are unwilling to obey him, or those who have only a pseudo-belief that is not accepting of him as both Savior and Lord of their life. It's not surprising that most people are willing to accept the salvation and forgiveness offered by Jesus, and why not? What person in his right mind would not be willing to have their sins forgiven and their debt of death owed taken away, all for free? All mankind is willing, even eager, to have someone who, by their sinless life, has not incurred the death penalty, and so is qualified to offer up his life as an acceptable sacrifice, as an acceptable sacrifice for their own well-deserved penalty of death. And that's something no person can ever hope to attain or to do for themselves. All mankind can do of their own volition is die in their sins. But Jesus not only is Savior of all who believe, he is Lord as well. Jesus Christ is the whole package. He is Savior, Lord, and life. Jesus describes himself this way in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus answered the question that had been asked him. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now the question for everyone who claims to be a believer is, do we hear and believe those words of Jesus and all the other words he spoke? He is the only way, he says. His is the only truth, and his is the only life that is eternal. Believing in him is believing in all that he claims to be and believing all that he says. Belief and acceptance of Jesus Christ is the only way any person can come to God the Father, according to Jesus himself. His is the only truth about all things, and particularly of God's kingdom, and it is only in his life that we can have eternal life. The truth, everywhere stated in the Scriptures, is that the salvation of Jesus Christ cannot be separated. It cannot be separated in any respect from his absolute authority as Lord and Master. So believing in and receiving Jesus, followed by the new birth, necessarily causes a total change in the nature and life of the believer, even though there's no change in the fleshly body. The problem is that few people are willing to allow Jesus to become the absolute Lord and Master of their entire life. The change that takes place in a believer is not usually apparent, because it is the spirit within that has changed, with the flesh and the old mind, the lust and the evil desires remaining essentially as before to begin with. But the new spirit within, born of God, will cause changes to take place. It will cause changes to begin to take place within the believer. It is within the church, and I'm not speaking of a church service or any physical church, but certainly the life of every person in the spiritual church of God is being changed daily by the work of the Holy Spirit within. We're to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, Paul says, holy and acceptable to God. And by bodies is meant not only the physical part of our being, but the entirety of the spirit, mind, and body. You know, the body does nothing apart from the spirit and mind or soul, which activates it. When a person believes and is born again, the flesh remains the same, but the motivation that drives the thoughts, the emotions, the reason, the intelligence, the new spiritual creation within, which is of God, and is counted as the whole person, is holy. It is of God. If the spirit of a person is holy, then it follows that body and soul will also begin to be like the spirit in holiness. When Paul says to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, he's speaking of the entire being. Presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, requires presenting body, soul, and spirit continually in devotion to his service. That's why many say they believe and accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, but few will accept his being the complete master of their lives. And that's not my opinion. That's what Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 23. Here Jesus says, in answer to a question, "Lord, are there only a few people going to be saved?" And he said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." This is where Christianity is and has always been. Many are trying to enter God's kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus describes it as trying to enter through a wide gate on a broad highway. But he said it leads only to destruction. Making every effort to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, requires a total effort of spirit, soul, and body, or spirit, mind, and body. There's nothing easy about it. Verse 25, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside, he says, knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Jesus' words here apply to some time in the future for everyone. But for them and us, whether or not we're in the house with Jesus is determined now. They obviously believed right up to their death that they were believers and were in good standing with God. But if they had not been in God's household serving Christ in their bodies, they're not known by him. They're not part of his spiritual church. Jesus continues in verse 26 saying, but then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. And then he says, there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. You know, it appears that most of Christianity today is standing outside God's household, looking in, and saying, you know, I'm in agreement with God in Christ, and I like the holiness and righteousness that I see inside the household of God. For the moment, though, I need to do some things at work and at home to take care of myself and my family, and I'm just not quite ready to totally commit myself to the kind of righteous life that goes on in God's house. So I'm going to stay real close here by the door, and at some point I'll be able to step inside at a time that's convenient for me before God closes the door. The problem with that is there will likely never be a convenient time, and God can close the door to each person anytime he chooses. That's why many are standing before God in the resurrection wondering why the door is closed. And so they're knocking and saying, let me in. I was on the porch by the door, just about to step in and become part of your spiritual household, Lord God, and surely you will not turn me away after being so close. Jesus says they will be able to see the people in the kingdom of God, but they themselves will be cast out. God knows every last person who has believed in Jesus Christ and in his word, and who believes God the Father who sent him. They're the physical and spiritual brethren of Jesus Christ, who are of the household of God, even though for a time they still dwell on this earth. Well, we always enjoy hearing from those of you who are searching the Word of God for the truth and life of Jesus Christ. If you have any questions or comments or suggestions to make this program more effective, or things that we should do, please let us know. And again, thanks for being with us today, and we hope you can join us again next week at this same time as we continue our study of what it means to live in Christ as a part of the household of God. Well, we thank you for joining with us today. We welcome your comments or questions and invite your participation with us in this ministry. This program is also being broadcast worldwide today on shortwave radio. This is in keeping with Christ's instructions to preach his gospel to all nations and teaching them to obey everything he commanded. If you would like a cassette tape or a CD of today's program, or if you would like information as to how you can participate in this ministry, please write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019, or call 501-316-0136, or you can visit our website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. Again, our address is Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019, or phone 501-316-0136. We look forward to hearing from you as we continue to present the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world.